Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Three more shows.
We're at the very beginning.
You can't be serious.
I am serious.
Yahoo serious?
And don't call me Shirley. Yeah, we have three more shows left of the Colleen and Bradley Show.
Well, if you're Shirley, I'm Laverne.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Schlemiel.
Schlemazel. Awesome pfeffer. And
Holly, are you Lenny or Squiggy?
Squiggy.
Okay. Hello.
I love that you had that answer at the ready. Holly was like, I know the answer to that one.
Who doesn't?
Not my first time. Not my first rodeo. Now, I have been told that we are having another memory moment.
You're having a memory moment, Colleen.
And I am going to be quiet and listen.
Yes. So, ladies and germs, you know, we're taking this opportunity over the last week, the Colleen and Bradley Show. I know. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand what world I'm in. But nonetheless, here we are. And we're going to kick the show off today with another walk down memory lane in honor of our friend Colleen. And let's roll that beautiful bean footage, Lenny.
And now for another great moment in Colleen and Bradley Show history.
Mommy, be shopping now. The hottest deals around. Got 50 cents off in the clearance aisle. Listen to me now. I'm saving 20 pounds. That's British for dollars because I'm a thrifty mom. Are you with me now? Watching the bank account. I know you like the way I save my family's dollars. Get your coupon.
Oh, wow.
And that was another great moment in Colleen and Bradley Show history.
Yes, that was, for those of you who don't know, Colleen darn near recorded an entire album of mom pop songs.
That was during my mom pop phase.
It was. And I don't know whatever happened to that. Like, have you been hanging out with Taylor Swift? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to go on tour? Is this,
you know,
a next opportunity for you? Are we going to see you at the Dakotas?
You might. I don't know. I don't know where my creative juices will take me. But you're right. I think I did like at least three, maybe four.
I was going to say, close to half a dozen, I bet.
I did that. I worked on a mom pop album.
Yeah.
And that's really, it sounded a lot like that. So I am trying to remember how that came about, because that was my first single. Holly, were you even here for that?
I was not even here.
I don't think,
here.
I was going to say, I don't
so
think
sorry.
So.
I'm so terribly so sorry. I think it was one of those moments where I realized that coupon sounded like freak on, and I just decided to go with it.
Well, we used to get real like deals
songy
and steals
oh,
heavy.
That's true.
And of course, we've always been creative here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, and your ability to songwrite is something I hope you'll put on your
resume.
Mm-hmm. God, do we have those things anymore?
I don't even know.
CVs?
CVE.
It's been so long. I don't know.
Curriculum vitae. Yeah, so anyway, I hope you put songwriting on your curriculum vitae, because you clearly have a knack for it. And I know that My Talk listeners, and especially Team Cobra listeners, are going to miss your dulcet tones.
Oh, is that, what does but that mean?
Your melodious
dulcet?
Voice.
Dulcet?
Dulcet means sweet. I think it means sweet, right?
Okay, well, thank you. I'll
your
take
dulcet
it.
Tones.
Not even your dolphin tones?
Soft. Soft and pleasing to the ear. Sweet to the taste. Generally pleasing or agreeable.
Oh, generally. Can I tell you something about that song?
Yeah.
Too?
Get your coupon.
My kids actually think it's, I think now they think it's, as the kids say, cringy. But when I first did that, they would ask me if I would play it for them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they thought it was so funny.
It's a slapper.
It is. It slaps something. But yeah, oh gosh. And I did one to Taylor Swift called Mom Bod, which was to the tune of Bad Blood. And I'm trying to remember what else I did. But then we worked on some other songs together when we were in our collaborative phase.
I was going to say, I think, you know, we've done all sorts of collaborative creations over the years, but I can't remember. I just know that we used to tell Halloween stories. I was going through, so for the listeners to sort of peel back the curtain, we're talking about, I mean, we just had a nice little memory walk down memory lane with Colleen and one of her songwriting extravaganzas. But there's a whole drive, like a digital repository of clips from days gone by on our show. And as I was listening to it, where was I going with this other than to say, just for the listener, there is this electric record, electronic record of bits and pieces from our past. And that was kind of like the most fun for me, was listening to the like silly creative things. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The Halloween. Do you remember we used to tell Halloween stories?
Yes. Did we make them up? What? How did we do that?
We found them online. We got real creative and Googled them.
That we, boy, let me tell you what.
They were haunted stories, remember? And I don't remember what the impetus to that whole thing was, but we used to do that every Halloween. Well, for a series of years anyway, where we would like, as we approached Halloween, we would read scary stories. Like you would read one Rocco would set them to music and we'd get all creepy and ooh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've done some things over the years. I just am, you know, it's weird because 10 years, first of all, we've been doing this show or some version of this show for almost 12 years, I think, because we started our weekend show and then we did that for a little while. And then they moved us to the weekdays, which we celebrated the 10th anniversary of our weekday show in March. So we've been doing this for a while, and it's weird because when you're in the moment, it's hard. I encourage everybody to take time in their lives to reflect over the last decade, because you realize just how much has changed or how many things you've done, or I don't know. It's emotional. That's all I'll say.
Oh my God.
It's just emotional.
I mean, that goes without saying, and you could underline that as well. It's been an emotional ride. I've been like a heap of emotions all week for like 300 reasons, but this one most, I think this is the one that's like creating emotions in other places in my life as well. But you do forget until you start to go through. It's like sitting down with an old shoebox full of photos.
Right.
So
right.
I've been having that experience obviously for more than the last week, but specifically this last week as I've been listening through old clips of our show and
because we're getting ready for the series finale.
It is the series finale.
I mean, truly,
we're not
on
going
Friday.
Anywhere.
No. It,
you know, as humans, right? We're just going in different places. And so it's important to honor that and mark that. But I mean, Team Cobra, it's not like there's not going to be a Team Cobra.
Well, there's going to be a Team Cobra. The thing is that you might not
you
be able to listen
it from
to
noon
it.
To three.
Right.
But there are podcasts. Go listen to the podcast. And I will also just encourage people, don't forget, and somebody pointed this out in one of the nice letters we've gotten this week. And by the way, thank you for all your kind words so far. Every time I come into contact with people, they're so effusive in their praise of all the work you've done and all the fun that we've provided over the last 10 years. But somebody pointed out that they really enjoyed our podcast. And I just want to remind people that Colleen and I did two seasons of a podcast called Go Deep in the Shallow, because that's kind of our signature move, is like, hey, let's get all up in these celebrity stories we become fascinated with. And so that podcast is still available online. Old episodes of the show, whatever you need.
You can still listen. I'll tell you a quick story. This is a true. I don't know if I've ever even told you guys this story, but when I was young, there was a radio station called WLOL.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the morning show was hosted by John Hines and Bob Berglund.
You have told me this story, but I know the audience will love to hear it.
When that station went off the air, I was a young little. I don't even remember what year it was or how old I was, but I was old enough that I understood that I was grieving the situation.
Yeah.
Because it was such a part of my morning routine, right? So I don't take it lightly that when there is a change in the radio station, that people feel a grief. That's a real thing. And so I recorded on an audio tape on my boombox, on my side-by-side boombox in my bedroom, their last show. And I proceeded to, because I was not... going to be or listening to any other radio station in the morning.
Of course.
Every single day until I wore that tape out, I listened to that. I would get up in the morning. It was part of my routine. I would press play.
I love it.
And I would do my morning to it. And the first day I walked in here, back in the olden days when this was my talk, or when this was FM 107.
Yeah.
I walked in, actually for an interview. This wasn't even like, I hadn't been hired yet. And I was walking into the office where I was going to be interviewed. And there was a person sitting at a desk outside. And the person who was interviewing me pointed to the person and said, "Oh, and this is Bob Berglund. He's our news guy." And oh my God, I about, did you oh my gosh,
have a little moment.
Almost lost all of it. I mean, I was already nervous because I'm interviewing for a job that I want desperately. Like, all I wanted was to be able to work at a radio station, and to be able to work at this radio station was like, are you kidding me? And then Bob Berglund is the Bob Berglund who I listened to even after he was off the morning show of that radio station.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to handle myself right now. I didn't tell him until a long time later. It was after we'd been working together for a while. I was like, Bob, I got to tell you a story. And I just feel really grateful that he's, you know, still, I still am connected to him on social media, and that I got to work with him for that long. It was insane. Sure.
Well, and that story is just a brilliant and, you know, clear cut illustration of the power of this medium. And I think it's probably no surprise as well that, like, one of the things I love about our listeners is that when we come into contact with them, and they will say things like, I know this is weird, but I feel like you're my best friend, or yeah, I feel like you're one of my friends, or yeah, I feel like when I'm listening to you guys, I feel like I'm listening to my friends. And they always start, though, by saying some form of, I know it sounds weird, or mm-hmm, I know it's silly, or I know it's dumb, but, and it's like, you guys, do you think we would be doing this job if we didn't understand that power? Meaning, I too, and you know, much like you, was obsessed with radio growing up as a child, because there is an intimate, I don't know quite how to describe it, but you all know this, there is an intimacy with radio that makes you feel a part of as an audience member. Mm-hmm. So even though we're disconnected and disembodied voices traveling through FM airwaves, mm-hmm, it's going right into somebody's ear. And think about how close you have to be to a person to put your voice in, yeah, their ear. So, and that's, so it,
we're putting our voice in your ear.
So we don't, I mean, we totally get it, you guys.
Yeah.
And it's because we love what we do, and it's because we appreciate the power of this medium, and it's just a, we get it. So you, whenever we cross paths, just know we feel like your friends too. We just don't know you. We don't see you.
It's interesting because, Bradley, I was literally just thinking about this before I hit my microphone button, about, because somebody sent me a beautiful card, and there's, it is always wonderful to get messages in whatever way they come, but there's something about like opening up a piece of mail and seeing somebody's handwriting and that, thinking that they took the time to sit down, mm-hmm, and, you know, pick out the card that they wanted to send and then wrote their, it just is, it's very touching. And I was thinking about how oftentimes people will say to us, I feel like I know you. And that my answer is always, because you do.
Yeah.
But I don't know you, so tell me about yourself, mm-hmm, right? Like that's a very natural, a normal conversation that we have very often, and we don't, I don't take it lightly. And so as we sort of sail into this final day of the Colleen and Bradley show, and you know, I turn into a radio has-been.
Oh God!
I will. I'm sailing. But that I treasure that, and I treasure the time that you all have spent with us, and I don't want to cry today because I'm going to save it for
Friday. Oh, just let it out, honey.
Yeah.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly Roberts is here with all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert. What's up, Halls?
Hi.
Now I gotta turn on my mic.
It helps get the voice out.
Spitgate has come to a conclusion. Remember?
Oh.
Back in September at the Venice Film Festival during the Don't Worry Darling film debacle, where allegedly, supposedly, Chris Pine spit on Harry Styles.
Yes.
Well, the two guys have reunited in Brazil.
And
they're hugging it out.
Oh, good. No spitting.
No spitting that we can see. But Harry Styles and Chris Pine were photographed hugging in Brazil yesterday, 3 months after a viral video left fans convinced that Harry Styles actually spit on Chris Pine.
Lest we forget. I can't believe we're still doing this.
Well, we are.
Well, and also just that this is where we are.
Yeah.
We're also like in this barren wasteland of celebrity activity right now for some reason. And so this is the thing that's going to rise to the top, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we need somebody to break some news, please, and thank you.
Well, this is what we're getting for now. That they're hugging it out. You can see the photos in page six. And they look very just lovely friends embracing and no harm, no foul there.
Good.
The Avatar The Way of Water premiere was in London last night. Kate Winslet making headlines because she re-wore a dress that is 7 years old. Can you believe it?
How dare she?
Yes.
I cannot believe it.
It's gorgeous.
Kate Winslet looking lovely in a charcoal-colored Bagley Mishka gown she previously wore to the Toronto International Film Festival back in 2019. Now, by the way, if you want to look like Kate Winslet, well, you might not be a movie star, but you can rent the same dress right now over on Rent the Runway.
I'm looking at this photo side by side, and I can't tell which is which. I'm assuming the left is the earlier one, just for the sake of like form, but I can't tell. If you told me either was the correct, I'd be like, okay.
You would think it was from the same time period. Yeah. The only way you can tell the difference is because Kate Winslet, currently the 2022 version, is in front of the Avatar Step and Repeat.
Oh, that's what that is. Yeah.
That's it.
But seriously, she looks amazing.
Yeah. Can I confess something?
What?
I didn't know she was in this. Is she in this movie?
Yes.
I did not know that.
She's a big star in the movie.
Well, you've been following the trajectory of Avatar, The Way of Water, for quite some time now.
How true it is. I don't know anything about it. Holly, thank you for that dirt alert.
Thank you.
And that tip on renting that dress at Rent the Runway. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we are going to solve some pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items. In a segment we call Blinded by the Item after this on MyTalk 107.1. Got some pop culture mysteries to solve right here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. MyTalk 107.1, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And we solve those mysteries in the form of blind items. Holly brings them to us. We attempt to solve them. In this segment, we call it Blinded by the Item.
I realize what that song Unholy by Sam Smith and Kim Petras reminds me of.
Oh, what?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, I get that.
Just lay a beat on that.
I do really like that song a lot.
There you go. Pop music. It's doing things.
Well, look at that.
Celebrity gossip mysteries like this. The upcoming sequel film with the massive budget will not generate a profit for the film studio. Net of expenses, no matter what the critics say about the film itself.
Avatar The Way of Water.
That's interesting. I would like to understand why, but please share.
Well, the upcoming sequel, Avatar The Way of Water, has a massive budget and it will not generate a profit for the film studio. Net of expenses, no matter what the critics say about the film itself. It seems like maybe perhaps this film will be doing a little Hollywood accounting. Hollywood accounting is code word for the film never actually makes a profit because folks don't like to pay out participation points and other things contractually to those once the film hits a profit. There's a lot of, you know, money
Yeah, which is not to say that the film won't be a roaring success.
No. That's what Entie Lawyer is saying. Yeah. It's like, this movie might be a massive hit, but it's never going to make a quote-unquote profit.
Interesting. It makes sense, but...
Well, yeah, because nothing is real and everyone smokes.
Exactly.
Yeah. What else you got in that bag? Blinded
by the idol. Another celebrity gossip mystery.
Perfect.
This former Disney actress, who has made a lot of money getting naked, lost most of it in crypto.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that what's her name?
She was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's kind of questionable.
Yeah. What the heck?
She was here with Patrick Kennedy.
Yeah. No. No. Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger, daughter of, or son of Catherine Kennedy.
Her name is
Maria Shriver.
Yeah, the same thing.
Her name is Bella Thorne.
Thorne.
I got you the drawer.
Thank you.
She had a dog named Tampon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
That's right. Never forget.
Don't do that.
So what NT Lawyer is saying is Bella Thorne, who's made a lot of money getting naked, actually lost most of it in crypto.
She's probably not alone.
Oh, for sure. But also,
I bet a lot of actors did, because remember, a lot of actors, although I will say, I bet a lot of actors were just given a lot of crypto.
Well, I was going to say, I bet they got paid in crypto.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean they necessarily lost anything as much as somebody who invested their hard earned cash.
Mm-hmm. That may have been a lesson.
She wasn't doing like crypto commercials, right?
No.
I don't think so.
She also was recently profiled in the New York Times for her new jewelry venture. So she's diversifying
her
portfolio.
Hustler. She is a hustler. Remember, she was like one of the first celebrities, right, to go on OnlyFans, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was very vocal about some of the controversy around OnlyFans. I hope that she...
We wish her all the best.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I hope she's able to recoup some of those funds through business ventures in the future.
Such as.
Yes. And I hope maps. Tampon is doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Blinded by the item.
Let's move on to another celebrity gossip mystery.
Fine.
This cable channel is contemplating making all employees, including cast and crew for each project, sign a loyalty pledge and morality pledge.
G to the A to the F.
Guys,
Great American Family.
This is not going to end well.
No.
And also, I just say two words. Liberty University.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to introduce you to a guy named Jerry.
And his wife and the pool boy.
Okay, but tell us more. Fill in the blanks.
Oh, sure. I will. Gaff, Great American Family, is contemplating making all employees, including cast and crew for each project, sign loyalty pledges and morality pledges.
I mean,
what the heck would a more... I understand the concept of the morality pledge.
Yeah.
But the loyalty pledge.
I mean, that is, listen.
Loyalty to what? Mm-hmm.
So, you were saying something, Colleen.
What I was going to say is a morality clause in a contract is actually pretty standard. But usually it's something along the lines of like, you know,
be gross.
Don't be gross. we have one in our contract that's like, basically is like, don't make terrible, horrible decisions and then, you know, have that become public, right? That's a thing. But doing that alongside a loyalty, I don't know.
I don't really understand the legality behind a loyalty pledge other than to say, is it a non-compete? Because I can understand wherein they're like, you need to be loyal to Gaff and not Hallmark or, you know, some other outfit that's doing the same thing. But loyalty in terms of what, like, you're going to love us before anyone. Like, I don't know what the loyalty means.
Right. Or like, we share all of your beliefs, whatever they are.
Yeah, that seems real. Mm-hmm. Good luck enforcing that in a court of law.
Mm-hmm. As the notable character Ernest P. Worrell once said.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Know what I mean, Vern?
Blinded by the idol.
Let's solve another celebrity gossip mystery. This permanent A-list singer, in quotation marks, is being set up by those around her to make her look bad and to put the control of her fortune in the hands of her scheming significant other.
Ish. Oh, my gosh.
Britney. And?
Sam Asghari.
Oh, God.
I got to check. Do you know if she's back on Instagram yet?
No, I have not seen anything pop up.
Okay. One of the things that I forgot to talk about this when we talked about this yesterday, One of the things that they shared, so remember, on her birthday, allegedly, she had, I mean, it the was flu. Her birthday. It wasn't allegedly her birthday. Allegedly, on her actual birthday, she had the flu. And then
Sam
there was
came down in a wool hat with some gifts.
And saying to her and whatever. And then allegedly took her to Nobu. And then later that same exact day.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, but it gets worse because later that same, allegedly, that same day, they shared a picture of her in public holding a baby.
No.
And it was clear. I mean, it was just like so clear. I was like, wow, you're really going all out to make it look so irresponsible that she not only went out with the flu, but then held a baby. Who does that? But also in the picture, her hair was like tossed over, like, you know, sometimes when you like are, you have long hair, sometimes you change your part. You
long
go
swoop
from side to side. So it's like she had swooped it over the other side and her extensions were very visible.
Yeah.
And it was, again, so obvious that that picture was shared to make things look a certain way.
Yeah. Like, I think both things might be true.
Meaning,
there's a reason to be concerned about her and that people are heck-bent on making the public concerned about her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, I think she's, you know, part of me is like, she's in a basement being held captive. She's got, like, a gag in her mouth. Somebody go free Britney. Mm-hmm. That's more metaphorically, but I think this care plan, there is a lot of mystery behind this care plan and who's actually still in charge of things. So, and I think to your point, it's that people want us to be concerned about her because that benefits, it creates a public sentiment.
Right.
Which, you know, can influence the powers that be. So if you create this assumption that she's unhinged, guess what? You're able to do more easily.
Right.
Have control of her.
Well, and I will tell you that some of the people who are part of this new version of the Free Britney movement, it's not, I'm not saying like they've reorganized, it's that like the new movement is justice for Britney.
Yeah.
And the people who are active in that community take real deep dives. And one of the things that, and this to me is like a bridge too far. So I'm just going to be really honest. There are a lot of things that I see them doing that I think, oh, well, that's curious. I'd like to know more about that. However, this is not one of those things. This is like, to me, just like a reach too far.
Yeah.
They think, though, that one of the things that whoever is in control is doing is that they call it TCON. And I think that that stands for the conservatorship.
Okay.
They believe that one of the things that they're gathering, knowing that Instagram is the way that people follow her and engage with her, they will put things like that out there, pictures of her not looking her best out there or videos of her not looking her best out there. And then they'll pay attention to how people are reacting as a barometer for how stable do people think she is?
Oh, okay.
Based on how they're...
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Now, the way I just said it actually did make sense. That's not necessarily how they say it, but that's kind of... And then they act accordingly. And so sometimes they'll take stuff down just to kind of get people stirring again.
Well, and that's...
According to them.
Is that the whole thing about, like, taking the account down before she's got a court
that,
thing?
Yes. Well, it's all kind of part and parcel.
Yeah. So, like, somebody's manipulating the social media to create an impression.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't disbelieve, or I don't think that's entirely impossible.
Right.
Again, I still do think it's probably less nefarious and more sad and people are out for their own self-interests.
Namely, Sam Asghari, who 16 hours ago in his Instagram stories asked the following. What's a good podcast to go on?
No.
I mean,
well, we should have said go deep in the show.
Right? Yeah. When we return, Holly, thank you for those blind items. That was fun. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, Bradley Trainer, the science guy, will be joining us.
It's true.
To talk about zombie viruses.
Zombie viruses. They're all going to get us.
On MyTalk 107.1. Hi. And, you know, nothing much. Bradley Traynor.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a little something you wanted to share with us.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted you all to know there's a lot going around this holiday season. Please be safe. Be careful. Protect the ones you love by, you know, wearing a mask and washing your hands. We did a whole song about it. Remember that, Colleen?
We sure did. Wash your hands.
God, we've been through a lot,
wash
girl.
I know.
Girl.
A pandemic.
Girl. And we're still here.
And we're still here. We're still kicking.
However, scientists have recently revived several things into Antarctica, from the Siberian permafrost that hasn't seen the light of day for 27,000 years.
I'm sorry, what?
The better question is...
Why?
Because...
Science!
And actually, that science is just a virus. You guys,
I don't need any more viri.
Scientists have recently revived. What are they doing? Mm-mm. Several large viruses. I think I got one last week, by the way, that have been buried. It wasn't one of these. Don't worry. I'm not going to eat your face off. But these viruses are called zombie viruses.
Mm-mm.
Brains. Mm-mm. In fact, the youngest virus to be revived was just 27,000 years old. And the oldest one is called Pandora virus. Does that sound good?
No.
Well, it's around 48,500 years old.
I have a question.
I probably have an answer, but I might not be able to understand the explanation I give you.
Tell me why it might be important for them to revive these viri.
I don't know, because scientists do things and they got a lot of time, and also the world is warming and these viruses are going to melt and, you know, be set free. But here's,
and so they're going to try to figure out how to cure them right now?
Well, sure. But basically to understand what's actually happening. And here's where I want you to not be concerned. For the moment.
Too late.
For the moment. You've got other things to be concerned about. You know, all of that stuff.
All the other stuff.
So apparently, I was reading about this, and I've seen several stories about zombie viruses. First of all, they're not viruses that make you into zombies. There are these viruses that just sort of continue to live, even though, and sort of reanimate, even though they've been dead for like a long, long, long time. Like I said, up to 40 some thousand years. But these viruses, as you read about these stories, a lot of the stories are clickbait, because when you get into the details, you learn that these viruses are actually not human infecting viruses. There's something, and I didn't know this was a whole thing until I read this. They are amoeba infecting viruses.
Okay.
Are you an amoeba?
Not that I know of.
I'm not an amoeba either.
However, I did just want to say that I do not feel soothed by that, because allegedly, the coronavirus that we know as COVID-19 was also not a human virus.
No. Okay, so yes, that is.
I mean, I'm not a scientist.
You're not, and so please don't take any science advice from you or me.
Good.
However, when I say they only affect amoeba, that is something very far from anything that would affect humans, much less other mammals.
Okay.
So these viruses that scientists are thawing out in the Antarctic, or in the Arctic, rather, affect amoeba, which means that, like, it's not gonna...
What they got against amoeba?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, frankly, I don't know that amoeba are all that enjoyable, so maybe it's not half bad. Anyway, okay. But they're using what they're learning is that you can revive these things after being dead for a very long time.
Okay.
So while scientists can then study how that affects the amoeba or affects the virus or blah, 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 the good news is that will also allow them to understand if something did thaw out that was dangerous to us, how to deal with them. So, you know, it's not really that. I mean, look,
I'm going to trust
the
you.
The bad
right now.
News is we're all going to die. The good news is
not from this,
not necessarily from zombie viruses that are melting in the Arctic.
Okay, fine. Yay. Thank you for bringing news, Bradley Trainer. To the table.
But, well, and it's also a public service because I guarantee you're going to see these headlines like zombie viruses are coming for you. You know, scientists.
Oh, it's going to be the kicker on the news.
Yeah. Like, tune in to find out
what's going to kill you.
What just melted from the Arctic because of global warming.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That said, look out a window.
Right.
Turn on a TV. Mm-hmm. Open a social media platform. You've got plenty of other things to worry about.
Yeah. Put this at the bottom of that list. You know, Bradley, it's funny because when you brought up zombie viruses, now we're in this like reflective mode on the Colleen and Bradley show. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it made me think about?
Of course I do.
The era of time we went through a very specific window where bath salts were very concerning. The drug.
Yeah.
Because it was causing people to chew each other's faces off.
Yeah, literally. Like our CSI segments were guy ate another guy's face off.
I mean, truly, I remember watching a terrible video of a person who was allegedly. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, well, I'll have to look and see if I can find it.
Please don't.
I mean, I won't.
Okay.
But there was this like window of time and it was like here and gone. Like it happened and we were like all about the bath salts. And now if you bring up bath salts to people, they're not going to directly go to face chewing.
What I love though is that every time somebody references bath salts, like I'm at Bath and Body Works,
right?
And you know, Jolene around the corner goes, oh, look at these new bath salts. These are delightful. My mind immediately is like, oh my God, Jolene's going to chew somebody's face off because she's going to go home and smoke those. Ain't going to end well.
And for the record, in case you are worried about any bath salts that you have in your home, not that kind of bath salt. This was like a street drug, but sure enough, yeah, Bradley Trainer, I hear somebody talk about bath salts and I'm like, I wouldn't mess with those. Mm-mm.
Exactly. And how delightfully theatrical our fears used to be.
I know. Wasn't it cute?
Because remember the whole thing that also makes me think of the whole thing about where I just keep insisting to you that zombies are real?
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, no, they're not. That used to be our biggest fear.
Yeah, well.
And then?
No. And then now.
But don't worry. So far, nothing to worry about up in the Arctic. I mean, you should worry for other reasons, but not like immediate danger.
Great.
It'll take a while.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we've got a wonderful guest from Les Miserables joining us after this on My Talk 107.